So, Matt, victims to the great British weather at the weekend?
Oh, it was one of those frustrating things where at 11:30, when you have to make the decision about the pitch wasn't playable at all. It's completely waterlogged, but probably by 3:00, you might have just about got away with it. But what you don't want to do is to completely destroy your pitch in the process.
It's one of those judgment calls, isn't it? And, you know, the referee's got to take the player's safety into consideration. I think one of the things it shows is how much rain did fall, because the surface at Trevor Brown Memorial Ground is as good as anywhere.
Yeah, it's a very good surface, and it drains well. There's not many matches you get called off there because of the weather, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it was just the amount of rain, and it was still heavy rain at 11:30, 12:00 on Saturday, so...
Yeah,
we have to make the call there and then.
Indeed, and it was due to be a cup game.
Yes.
What's the cup competition? I know there are so many, so I should know this, but
we're still in five cups, so
yeah,
I get
exactly.
Confused. This one, and we've got Fairfield in two of them, which is even more confusing. This is the Smedley Crook Cup. They've got some quality names, which is a Worcester-based competition.
Excellent, excellent, and it was due to be Fairfield Villa in the league, obviously.
Yes.
This Saturday, but it's now a rearranged game from last week, so it is cup action.
Yeah, it's interesting. Cup games take precedence over league games, so you have to move your league games to get the cups out of the way, because what they don't want to happen is someone to be, say, through to the quarterfinals and another team still stuck on a first-round tie.
Yeah.
So you have to play the cup game. So it does actually mean now that our next, I'm just working this out, four games are all cup games.
Maybe something that Premier League managers might want to think about when the FA Cup comes around.
Exactly. Well, we take cups very, very seriously. There's no difference between a cup game or a league game for us. No resting players, no rotation. You know, strongest
Indeed.
Team in every game.
Indeed. Interesting as well. You want to keep the sort of momentum going when a game's called off like this. I mean, from the previous week, a fantastic victory at Rostis Edwards.
Yeah, fantastic victory, fantastic performance, and it's a shame the match was off last week. You want the momentum to keep going. It's the sort of time where you would have gone, we'd be happy to have midweek games because you've got that momentum behind you. But we've just got to make sure that we have a good training session this week, all the lads in train well, and then we're ready to go on Saturday.
Okay, and Fairfield Villa, I mean, what can you tell us about them? What have you got to look out for?
They're an interesting team. They had a slow start, I think it's safe to say, but since then they've brought in quite a few players. They've got a lad called James Ward, who they've signed from Droitwich Spa recently, who's a good player. And they've got a lad called Ellis Blakemore, who they've just signed from Pershore Town in the league above. And they're two attacking players who our defence will need to be wary of.
Indeed. And, I mean, you talk about players from the Paget side of things. A bit later on we'll get on to how things are looking off the field, but as a result of the meeting that was had 3-4 weeks ago, the under-21s had to unfortunately fold, but one of the good things is about that is you have a pool of players from the under-21s you can just bring through, and I'm thinking of Miles Phipps in that regard. When I saw him a couple of weeks ago against Pelsall Villa, yeah. When he came off the bench, he looked to have a bit about him.
Oh, he definitely has, and he did the same against Rostis Edwards when he came on there. He set up our third goal for Reuben Wilson, and he's a raw talent. He's got a lot to learn still, but with those raw talents, it's great to just chuck him in at the deep end and let him get on with it. He's only 16, 17 years old, and as the manager said to me, getting rid of the under-21s means it's made the decision for him that Miles Phipps is ready for first team football, because he's the sort of player we don't want to lose.
And a game changer as well if he comes off the bench. Nice to start him, but if you need a goal with about 20-25 minutes to go, he can come off the bench and do something.
Yeah, it's a great tactic, because obviously we've got Luke Bradley, who plays left wing, who's a very quick player, but you know, he'll run the defence ragged for 65-70 minutes. Then we'll take him off, and their fullbacks who are knackered at that point think, oh, we're having a respite. And then they've got Miles up against them, or Reece Boswell as well, who's another young lad who's only 18 years old, who's quite quick.
Yeah, played well the last few weeks, kind of like an attacking fullback kind of role, Reece Boswell. Look good going down the left-hand side, I must say, in the games that I've seen. As far as the off-the-field stuff goes, Matt, if you'd written it as like a script and took it to a Hollywood producer, they'd tell you to leave. They'd tell you to get out, wouldn't you?
They'd say it wasn't realistic, would
yeah,
they?
So but for those listening now for the first time, exactly what has happened?
It's hard to put into words. So what happened was, I'll go right from the very beginning.
If you would.
I have been basically bankrolling the club myself because the club is not self-sufficient. However, you try and host race nights, sporting dinners, fundraising events, such things as that, to keep the money going because it's a very expensive business to be involved in. The attendance at our most recent fundraising event was disgusting, and I sensed an apathy from within the club and a lack of interest. So, and I still am in this situation now. I've withdrawn all financial support of the football club. And I've said that the club has to become self-sufficient. If it can't become self-sufficient, then unfortunately the club will fold. So immediately it put us into a position where we had no money because it had been reliant upon myself. We had a meeting immediately afterwards where we realised what the target we needed to raise, which was £5,000. £1,300 was raised in the room. The club itself has probably raised another £1,000 on top of that to get to £2,300. And then I posted a tweet for a GoFundMe page on Twitter just to see if there was anyone out there who had a spare fiver or anything who'd be interested in donating to keep a local non-league football club going. And this somehow, and I'm still not 100% sure how, managed to find its way to Glasgow and to Glasgow Rangers. And since then, Glasgow Rangers fans have now raised over £1,200 for
crazy,
the club.
It? Crazy,
yeah,
isn't it?
We've must have had over 1,000 Twitter followers from Glasgow. Rangers have put us on their official website yesterday, which is Tuesday as we're speaking now. It's all over the Scottish press, and I'm now getting national papers contacting me about it. So it really has gone mental.
And like we say, if you said to somebody, that's what's happening, or we want to write a book about this, or we want to make a film or a TV show, nobody would touch it, would they?
No one would touch it. They wouldn't believe it. But I must say, if there's any sort of expat Rangers fans that listen to your show, we've got to thank the Rangers fans, because if it wasn't for them, I couldn't see the club lasting beyond Christmas. But now we can at least plan slightly further ahead. There's a lot of work still to do. There's a lot of more money still to raise, and the club must become self-sufficient. And we're setting stuff up now like a club shop, where I sold 50 programmes from last week's postponed game. I sold to Rangers fans now. Normally we'd only sell 30 programmes per game. And if we can maintain that interest in Scotland, then we will become self-sufficient.
Realistically, how much further is slightly further in terms of planning?
Oh, we'll get to the end of the season at least now.
Well, that's good, isn't it? I mean, and then there are, which we can't really go into, but possibilities for the club in terms of its self-sufficiency for next season as well.
Yeah, there are, and there's got to be further cuts. We are probably the best fitted out club in our whole league, and I don't just mean the division, I mean in the whole league,
yeah.
In terms of, you know, I'm not biased, but we have the best kit. We have the best tracksuits. We have the best equipment. We play at a ground that is far superior than to the level that we're actually playing at and the standard we play at.
You get exclusive radio coverage as well, by the way.
Yeah, which we are the only club, I think, probably outside of the Football League to have such things. So, you know, other than the radio coverage, there will have to be cuts made elsewhere.
Yeah. Definitely. So this Saturday, Fairfield Villa, Trevor Brown Memorial Ground, it's an international weekend, so it's not National Non-League Day from the football hierarchy point of view, but we can put something similar on, can't we, for Saturday?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, for us, it's as if it's, well, every day is a non-league day, but this
of
is
course.
Non-league day for us again. Hopefully, more people will come than came last time on non-league day. But you know, the kick-by-kick commentary that you guys do is fantastic, and it's great publicity for us, and hopefully you'll have some new listeners listening online from Scotland.